world of real and virtual auto sport meets. Mad Sim Racing Media presents the Into the Apex podcast.
Because the story. So there's been a clip that's been shared around that was taken from my, I think it was the past stream. I can't remember now. Yeah, it must have been the past stream at the weekend. Where I got a question from chat saying, "Oh, did you have any unexpected guests?" And that's exactly what I was alluding to. Yeah, we did. We had a one of those three drivers got caught red-handed. That's how this whole thing really started. Took it to iRacing to say, like, something's fishy here, can you look into it? I looked into it. They found that they've been doing this for a month. Three of them have a 90-day ban. And yeah, on we go. Yeah, they've been doing it since as far back as the 6th of February, which was the day of the Silverstone Pest Round. And we had a hosted session, password protected, I may stress, on that day. So this has been ongoing for quite a while.
So there you hear Jamie Fluke from Apex Racing Team in the story that we started talking about last week and spent a lot of time about with Team Redline and the three drivers that we had heard rumors of being suspended, as well as a clip that we played last week of Jamie Fluke from Apex kind of cryptically hinting at this. Well, it turns out we found that he confirmed it in a live stream on Twitch when he was able to speak about it. At the time of our clip last week, he obviously wasn't able to speak about it. So that's confirmed. Christopher Dambeets, Patrick Holtzman, Alexander Thebe. I'm not saying it right, but however it's said, Thebe, I think, all suspended for 90 days for conduct violation by iRacing. And kind of the bombshells that come from what's revealed by Fluke, as well as others, we were contacted and heard from an Apex Racing Team member that we're going to get to, gave us some more context to all of this and just made sure we were crystal clear on it. So we'll get to that momentarily. But the big bombshell to me is this went on more than once and for longer. Our big question, I think the big question last week was, or one of them, one of many, was how did the other two got? We obviously went through a screenshot of Alex being in this session. But the question was, what about the other two guys? How did they get brought into this and have the same suspension? Well, that's now been answered, and we're going to get to that. But first, I want to go to Rob, because Rob and I have been trying to work this on social media this past week. It's been a week of controversy in sim racing, this being now our biggest one left open. And Team Redline's not saying anything, Rob. They're not saying a thing about this.
No, they're trying to it's completely mum. Like, how I've tried messaging numerous people just on Twitter, like whether it's the guys that do the commentating for PESC or whether it's just whenever iRacing and Team Redline are posting stuff about them competing in it to see exactly what's going on. And they won't even make a comment on it. And like I said, I know they feel like obviously they don't answer to me, but PESC is tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they're not going to be participating in it. The post that they had today only had Max Beneke as being tagged in it. So it's like, do they literally just have one guy racing in it now? And is there not going to be any mention of it whatsoever? And does like the team just say, yeah, you can keep racing for us, you'll be off iRacing for 90 days and then just business as usual? Yeah. Seems kind of weird to me.
Yeah, one of our questions that we'll get to. I mean, these guys are suspended. These three drivers, you look at their Twitter accounts where they are otherwise were very active. All three of them have had no activity whatsoever since late February, since their last race as part of the team in a big iRacing series. But yet, some of them still have that they're associated with the Porsche Esports Cup. At least one of them I saw still has that they're associated with Team Redline. And we'll get to that question. later on. That's one of a couple that we have that we're hoping to get answers for. And we're wondering if any comments will ever be made. But we'll get into also why I think it's necessary for comments to be made. I mean, we're going to play devil's advocate, and we're going to talk about what we feel about it. Because I know there's some different sides to it. But to put more context to it, obviously in the live stream that you just heard, Jamie Fluke confirmed this clearly after he previously had mentioned it cryptically. He also mentions that the three team red line drivers in those punishments, it was the same punishment, 90 days. He confirmed that they exploited the spectator aspect of one of their password protected team hosted sessions. So he made clear that they didn't get their passwords. The passwords weren't compromised. It was a matter of entering as a spectator. And apparently what happens is only other spectators, and I don't have a lot of experience as going in as a spectator, but if you go in as a spectator, the drivers or the people in the session apparently can't see that, but other spectators can. And in other sessions, for over the course of a month, one way or the other, iRacing confirmed this and found it out. They did this more than once. And the other two drivers, besides Alex, did this and were detected as doing so after the fact, somehow by iRacing. And apparently somebody was in the Apex session as a spectator to spot, which they weren't usually in as that. And then that person noticed Alex going in there and then tipped off the others in the screenshot chat log that we highlighted last week. And that's still on madsimracing.com/media on the podcast page. So they found a workaround. No confirmation or detailed information as far as setup stealing or anything that may have been gleaned, but that's the assumption. I think iRacing has made a fix on some of this stuff to where we probably aren't able to obviously test out what they did specifically. But Bradley, I want to bring you in now as well, and Patrick. You guys heard that opening clip from Fluke. You kind of have the context. The big thing this week that we now know that we did not know last week, this happened for at least a month in early January or so. Starting with the Porsche Sports Cup race at Silverstone, as Jamie Fluke says, and possibly other events. This also other events fall under this. If this was early January that this was detected, wouldn't that fall under the Daytona race, the Bathurst race, or any other races? So this appears to be broader of a misconduct than we even would have thought before.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that there's an item. There's not going to be an itemized list of sessions that these guys entered and what races they were for. I mean, we have the one example where we have screenshots that we showed last week that are out on social media and Reddit and various places. But we don't have a list of exactly what events and what races were compromised by these guys from Team Redline. The other thing as I take from that clip is they seemed pretty steady and pretty definite that it was just for that period of time, for just that month. So I know part of our questions and our speculation pre-show was how long did this go on? They seemed to answer that question pretty clearly. I think if they weren't sure, they probably would have said, we don't know. It could have been some of the major championship races. And of course, there's a lot of money on the line with the Porsche Sports Cup. So, I mean, that would be something they would want to know. And I think it's something iRacing would want to know and did find out. I'm sure there's some mechanism iRacing can go in the internals of whatever systems they have and see who logged in. I'm sure there's a log of who logged into each session as a spectator, probably exactly down to the time that they did it. And that's probably some of the forensics and the evidence that iRacing deployed to figure this out. So, I mean, I think it's probably solved and over and done with, and the consequences have been delved out. But like you said, and Rob said, the lack of statement from Redline is kind of concerning. And that, as we talked about last week, this coming from somebody who was a fan, that's kind of concerning. You would think they would want to distance themselves from these guys or at least share their side of what was going on. Not that there's a good justification, but so far, as far as we're aware, there's nothing out there right now.
Yeah, they're not responding to our inquiries. I know Rob has made inquiries on Twitter, which is our only kind of resource at the moment with them. And like I said, I mean, at least one of the drivers still seems affiliated. I mean, they seem to be taking the radio silence tactic, it seems.
Yeah, like, and there's also, you got to think about this too. With PESC being tomorrow, like, there's going to be three guys that are missing. Like, someone, like, are they not going to say anything? And another thing is that if they're to say just disqualified from PESC this year, I mean, like, since there hasn't been a statement, it's not really clear whether it's they're not going to be able to compete next year because they cheated, or they're not going to be able to compete next year because the ban that they're getting this year is going to make them not have enough races in to actually qualify for it. So is that just going to be some byproduct of just this 90-day ban that iRacing is holding them to?
Yeah, that's my understanding, is it's going to force them to be disqualified from the next season. So this punishment will kind of snowball into more punishment.
Yeah.
And that gets me into going into what we learned and some of the context that we learned since our last episode. Our episode last week talking about this did reach Apex Racing Team and reached one of their team members, somebody who's involved with them. George Simmons gave us some context. We reached out to several people possibly involved in this or victims of this to try to get any kind of statement or information or context that we could, just to make sure, especially that we were barking up the right tree and give everybody a fair shot. And George sent us back some very good context, actually very detailed bullet points going over what we got right and adding some context on different facts. So I'm going to go through those number by number here. And I want to go through each one and kind of digest them, basically. The first one I kind of mentioned, this kind of leads to a topic of what I mentioned last week. The first one he mentions is, we deliberately didn't want to shout from the rooftops until we knew exactly what had happened. We aren't in the business of accusing people and didn't want to damage anyone's reputation unjustly. That's completely fair, and I think that's the way to go about it. That gets into somewhat of what I mentioned last week, which was posing the question from the angle of stirring this up or talking about this for one reason or another is being overly dramatic, or is bad for iRacing, or is bad for the pro series of iRacing. That talking about it too much would reflect badly on iRacing and is for the greater worse, not the greater good. And I don't want to be, you know, I want to be critical of ourselves as a platform of bringing this up, because here we are following up on it in a second episode. But I'm going to come down firmly on the side myself of this is not, we should be talking about this. This is worth talking about, because these are guys in sim racing that are in a position that thousands of people want to be in. There's money on the line. There's big stakes, big sponsorships, big teams. And it snowballs out into these guys being involved with setup shops, at least one of them possibly. It becomes pretty significant at that point.
I think it speaks to the integrity of sim racing and iRacing in particular in those series. That there should be a known consequence to that type of behavior throughout the community. And I think there is anyway. I mean, there's a lot of self-policing amongst the sim racing community. If you don't behave properly in a session or in a league, you're going to very quickly earn a reputation and, in a sense, get blacklisted. And to some outsiders, that could be kind of off-putting, but that's a way that the community self-polices itself to keep races quality. And to keep the people who aren't interested in putting that forward out of leagues. I mean, you get those people in open sessions, but And it applies all the way up to the top, to this top tier series. I mean, there's got to be a consequence. And of course, it being a top tier series, if something like this happened in a NASCAR top series or IMSA or WEC or anything, the media that covers those series are going to discuss it. So in the same sense, this is the top tier sim racing series. So it's open game. It's very fair for anybody to talk about. And like you said, I think it's important to talk about it.
I'd also have Patrick. To add that, you know, what are they just going to do? Leave it be the big white elephant in the room and just not talk about it? You know, they have a race. You know, we're recording this Friday night. You know, there's going to be a race tomorrow. What are they going to mention on the broadcast? Are they going to bring that up? Like, oh, these guys aren't here.
That's what I want to know. I'm going to tune in. You can guarantee.
I mean, you cannot not address it.
Well, let's start a little pool. What's the odds that they mention it tomorrow on the broadcast?
I don't think they will.
I don't think they will either.
Yeah, I don't think whoever does the broadcast is going to take it upon themselves if they don't get the blessing from iRacing to do it.
Rob, I was with you last week. I think, or I don't know if you said it on air or not, but you said at least to us, one way or the other. They'll announce something closer to the PESC race, the next one. That'll be when somebody speaks up, Redline or iRacing or somebody. It was announced privately in this memo that went out to PESC drivers. That's where the source shared it with the sim racing drama world to kind of get this out more publicly. But I think this close to the next round, I mean, if they don't mention it in the broadcast, I feel like that Team Redline should have mentioned it before now. If they're not going to keep these guys on as drivers, I think they're going to keep all three of these guys on as drivers. I think in 90 days or less than 90 days now, we're going to see these three guys driving for Team Redline because they're not saying.
They're fast. I mean, they made the series, so they're still a valuable asset to Team Redline, but it's just the optic of it. I mean, is that something that's concerned? That's why I say as a past fan of Team Redline, that makes me kind of question what's going on over there.
It makes them look like cheaters.
Yeah, let's put it this way. Here's the question. I mean, I'm jumping the gun. I was setting this up for after we go through these bullet points, but we'll get back to this. We'll go further into this because I think it's important, and that's why we're talking about this still. And again, are these three bad actors that came up with their own thing, or is this something that the whole team knew about and was okay with? And thought that they could do. We don't know the answer to that, but the fact that three of the same team drivers did something like this and it was confirmed shows some level of coordination, at least between these three drivers, if not more so. iRacing is obviously, it's not so serious to the point that they're going to dig through contacts, chats, emails, whatever. We're never going to know. But for a team to not distance itself or dismiss or whatever, or even mention it and just to hope it goes away, especially if they bring these three guys back after their bans, that tells me that they don't want these guys to say anything extra. You're not going to separate yourself from them.
I mean, with three guys, I mean, it stands to reason that a lot more people were aware of it. And admittedly, I've not followed Team Redline more recently, so I don't know if there's any type of leadership structure or what that would be. But I mean, it would be, like I said last week, they could potentially be the Houston Astros of sim racing.
That's what they are to me, right?
The whole organization. You have to assume it's the whole organization, even though, just like in that situation, a handful of people were singled out and punished for it. I mean, and they're probably never going to say. I mean, of course they wouldn't. And I don't think they would retaliate against the whole organization and try to bring it down if they're dismissed from it. I mean, I agree. I don't think they're going to be dismissed. I think a sim racer of that quality, despite what actions they've taken, is pretty hard to come by. So speaking as a owner or manager of a team here, I mean, we like to think we're ethical folks, but you get somebody who can win a world championship series with $200,000 on the line. You know, I don't know. I mean, there's
talk about devil's advocate.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying we don't cheating. I'm just saying we need fast people wherever you can get them. Well, not that we'd be
fine. Yeah, it's like no one likes watching the guy on the other team who's clearly doing steroids, ripping fucking home runs every other game. But when that guy gets on your team, you're like, hit him out, big boy.
That's the thing, Rob. What if so they're going to dismiss these three guys and some other team like Red Bull is going to pick them up and sign them?
Yeah.
But what if they're going to be crushed?
Oh, they're going to be just fine. Yeah. Those guys, regardless, they're going to be just fine.
It's like, Tyler, give me a big name in baseball there. It's like, what if...
Jose Altuve.
Yeah, what if Jose Altuve gets
kicked
and the Baltimore Orioles pick him up? Because they're so desperate for some good players. Well, they don't care if he cheated. They don't care what he did.
It's like the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns football team. They pick up all the abusers and whatnot. They don't care.
Yeah. I mean, you're there to win games. You're not there to have high ethical and moral standards.
I don't know. Yeah, apparently, but.
Damn, results-oriented business.
Apparently so. Know, right? Yeah. I did not know that my fellow
dollar
teammates here.
Everywhere.
Yeah, that they would sell out so quickly.
Come on.
I would.
If Alexander Thebe comes to you and says, I want to join MSR tomorrow. I've been kicked off of Team Redline. What would you tell him, Tyler?
I tell him thanks, but no thanks.
Bullshit! I'm calling bullshit.
Yeah,
I think we're taking the high road here.
I think we would hold a vote of confidence.
Yeah, high road, Tyler.
We're taking the moral high road.
Yeah, we don't need that. We got David Contreras.
Yeah, we got David Contreras.
Let's go to bullet point number two. Why don't we?
Yeah.
So number one. They didn't want to blow up the spot. They wanted iRacing to do their investigation. Fair enough. And I jumped into, is it bad for iRacing if this is true? Well, of course it's true. It's not bad for iRacing. iRacing did what they should have done. Team Redline, now we don't know if they did what they should do, in our opinions. That's where we're at with that. Number two, George says, we think they were able to literally hack or exploit into our sessions because we use unique and very long, basically random passwords for each session, which we just copied and pasted out to the other drivers. For that reason, we know there's almost no way they could have guessed the password, so they must have bypassed it. So we obviously know that they joined in as spectators to these sessions, and we know that at least these three drivers were found to have done this. And it was just their unlucky day. It was really a roll of the dice. I don't know if they knew it or not. I mean, you would think they would know that if somebody else is in as a spectator, they're going to see that this name is connected, as we saw in that screenshot. And it was their unlucky day that maybe supposedly a month into doing this collectively, that somebody was not spotting, they were spectating and busted them, basically. And that tipped off iRacing, and iRacing found that the other two guys did this to other hosted sessions, at least to Apex Racing Team. Did they do it to other teams? The question is, which I don't know, if iRacing has to be very specific with looking up this data. So Apex Team tells them, we busted this competitor in this big series, busting into our host session tonight. We don't know if they've done this more. Can you guys look into this? iRacing might say, yes, we'll look into it. They confirmed that they did the same thing with that one session. And they look back, maybe with help from Apex, of other sessions they set up on different dates. And maybe they check sessions on those dates or set up by those accounts. And they see those sessions that somebody from the team, the other two guys, got in there as spectators, up to some shenanigans, did whatever they did. And that could be it. So it may not be a question of they look up Patrick Holtzman and see that he jumped into all these different sessions. So they could have jumped into countless other sessions if there's no way to really broadly tell. They could have jumped into all kinds of sessions from any other team, not just Apex, any other big team.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Well, we've got, there was the round two at Suzuka, the GT or the BMW Sim Cup. That was in that time frame, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
And if you could save a setup as a spectator, how many setups could have been saved in a month's time?
And then there was also the BMW Sim Cup at Daytona. That could have been part of it too.
Yeah.
Daytona 24. I mean, you can just keep going.
Well, I think that might have actually they had a pretty tight timeline on when they thought it happened. So like, I don't know if the 24 or the first round of the BMW Sim Cup would fall inside that, but nonetheless, there's still a wide window of when they could have been doing it. And that Jamie Fluke guy also said that they found their own way in, like a different way to get into the session. So like, there's multiple weak spots apparently through the spectator. Well, he didn't necessarily say through the spectator mode, but just to get into a session that you shouldn't be in.
Yeah, they tried to recreate it. They found it. iRacing apparently fixed both. So we shouldn't be able to do it now, but
yeah, I would love to know what it is.
Well, we know one of them, but the second one, he didn't say. Jamie didn't say it.
No, well, that'd probably be to respect iRacing, not to let them know where their weak spots were in the first place.
Supposedly they fixed them, but yeah, I see more damage that could have been done that may never be known. There may be no way to tell. If depends on how iRacing was able to detect the other two guys. I suspect that maybe they weren't able to see what these guys connected into. Maybe they did, and that would make it at least more surefire that they only got into Apex. But it's not like iRacing is releasing a detailed report. iRacing could have found that these guys got into a ton of sessions and took setups. We just don't know, and we probably won't know. We're not going to get those details. Just aren't going to come out. But it certainly seems worse than what we even would have thought last week. I think that's the big point.
Well, if it was what we call a nothing burger, there probably would have been something out about it already. And there's a lot of people who still think that it's not even real. So, like, people who think it was just like that sim drama world Twitter account is just a satire tabloid type thing. So there's a lot of people just kind of just let it brush off them, just like, yeah, whatever,
that's where, not real. That's where I was. This
day, they probably still think it's fake. So it's absolutely real.
It's confirmed. I mean, it's as confirmed as could be. Number three, they joined a session as a spectator, which means anyone who was in the session as a driver cannot see the list of spectators. That means if all members of the team join a session as drivers, as they normally would do, it'd be impossible to tell who was spying on you as a spectator. We covered this. Obviously, somebody was in the session, thankfully, on the team as a spectator and saw that somebody else was invading and tipped everybody off. And that started this whole thing. Number four, if you join as a spectator, you're able to see any setups that are shared between drivers using the everyone button. We don't know that the setups are stolen since we don't know which sessions any of the three drivers had joined, but it is a definite possibility. Why else would you try to get into the sessions? George says, I agree with him. What else? What's the point? What else are you looking for? You're obviously a fast driver in pro iRacing competition. Why are you getting into multiple sessions? That's the open question, is what were they up to? If not grabbing setups, if grabbing setups is something you can do, which he says here, you can do, or you could do.
Well, it's go to the guy's Twitter profile. It's literally what he does. So it's like to say like, oh, why would I be looking for setups? I'm just a regular racer. It's like, no, like you do setups, dude.
And that's Alexander Thebe.
So he's supposed to be a guy that knows how to make his own good setups, right?
Yeah. On his Twitter, it says, I believe something along the lines of he makes packages for Pure Driving School.
You got to be kidding me.
Well, it's PRT. So that's not Pure Driving School, but I think they might be affiliated in some way. Like if you search that, PRT.
Look this up then.
I forget what it stands for, the PRT. Now, I had done it before. And if you Google it, Pure Driving School is the first thing that comes up.
Yeah, I've heard of that before.
So, like, I'm pretty sure there is some connection there. Maybe someone else can fill in the blanks.
At PRT School, 24-year-old, his Twitter bio says, still, 24-year-old package creator and driving coach for at PRT School. That's Pure Driving School. That's just for some reason their Twitter is at PRT. But when you click on it, it's Pure Driving School's Twitter.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So yeah.
That's who he's linked with. Or he says he is.
So that's
And guess what their motto is? Setups, videos, coaching. Setups, period. So
there you go.
Maybe he was just coaching in the spectator session.
I was just looking for inspiration.
Yeah, he was just watching to get some ideas.
So
scouting the competition.
I only feel mildly bad for rinsing him.
Yeah, say for a month. So pure driving school. Are you still affiliated with this guy? Let's hear it. I mean, let's just say for a month he's saving setups from other teams and other really fast drivers. Do you think he's uploading these things for sale? I don't purchase setups from Pure Driving School, so I don't know how active he is. But let's say he is active over the course of a month and he's putting setups up there with his name on them. Or are they setups saved from these hacked sessions, so to speak? I mean, is it not a fair question? Is it not something worth talking about?
One thing that we also got to consider too, like, they might not have been actually taking setups at all. Like, he could have easily just been watching and just seeing how their cars are performing. Like, okay, they're going for straight line speed, or no, like, they're running a really high downforce setup. Like, look at them going through corners. Like, he could just be assessing what he's seeing on the surface too, right? But either way, it's still wrong.
Yeah, you don't know what he's doing.
Yeah, that's what we mentioned last week. We don't. There's really no confirmation 100% they were stealing setups, was there? Or is that something that was mentioned in your talks behind
the scenes? In the one of the previous bullet points I just read. In fact, the one I just read, number 4.
Yeah, they don't
know.
He emphasizes
no. We don't know the setups were stolen, since we don't know which sessions they had joined.
So you have to, iRacing has to treat it as though that was what was happening.
It's as he said. It's a definite possibility. Why else would you try to get into the sessions?
Yeah. I can't think of any other good reason.
I mean, you can watch, but you can watch them in the actual races.
And you're on the track with them. I mean, you could literally follow them.
Yeah, you can watch another's content.
I would love to know if iRacing and the stewards of that series actually brought them in and asked them questions about it. Find out what they had said.
I doubt
probably not.
You're not going to be a good answer. Like, that'd be like if you got caught in the ladies' room. Like, what are you doing in here? Like, nothing. Like,
well, you're not supposed to be in here.
Well, I didn't take a shit. Like,
yeah, Bradley, it's iRacing, not the KGB. Calm down.
Hey, you never know.
If it was the KGB, you'd already be locked up.
Yeah, that's Haas F1. But anyway.
Whoa!
Number 5. iRacing conducted an investigation with all Porsche Esports Cup drivers. That's interesting. Conducted an investigation with all Porsche Esports Cup drivers and concluded that not only Alex Thiebe, if I'm saying it right, I don't know.
Interrogation, Tyler.
Yeah. But also Holtzman and Dan Beats had joined sessions from other teams, hence why they were banned also. So this gave us the confirmation of why the other two guys, because I think Bradley, you brought that up. Why the picture, the screenshot that we found, only Alex was shown in that. So what was the deal with the other two guys? This answers that question. A deep dive by iRacing found that they joined other sessions from another team, he says in this, by the way. What other team? We don't know, but it shows over time coordination between three guys that were part of the same team. That's something.
That's sketch. Completely sketchy.
Yeah. It's if they're bad actors, if nobody else on Team Redline knew about this, then I don't give Team Redline any shit. Because you have a big team. We have a big team. You can't control everybody. Sometimes things happen. But was it three bad actors, or did more people know about this?
But you also got to consider the I guess the clout Team Redline has as a whole. I mean, they're big in iRacing and they're big on other platforms too. They have a freaking F1 driver on the roster.
They have a couple of them.
Do you want that reputation of having cheaters as your, you know, do you want that part of, you know, what you're known for?
I think you would cut these guys out and state unequivocally that they acted on their own and completely make that clear if there was nothing else going on. If somebody like Verstappen didn't use some kind of commandeered setup at, let's say, Bathurst. But if that in fact is the case, then you say nothing and hope that nobody notices it.
And yeah. To not even address it, I just think it makes it look way worse.
It does. I agree with
you. I think we all are kind of resigned to the fact that celebrities get special treatment. So even if Max cheated, just keep him.
I mean, whatever. It has nothing to do with his F1.
Yeah, cut the normal people.
Well, no, I'm talking about like the team as a whole. I mean, they're well known for all their success and all their winning and this and that. But then you got these allegations that they're stealing setups.
Well, if you as a team broadly, if you as a team have to steal shit and do shady stuff to be successful, are you really successful?
Ask Tom Brady.
Ooh. Oh, well, let's not piss off whole regions of the United States now, bro.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm a big fan.
I get that you're in Canada, but let's not alienate.
I'm a big fan. Big fan.
But I find it interesting in that bullet point. He says an investigation with all PSC drivers. That's interesting. Number six, Apex, and this is something in response to something you said, Rob. Apex last week, and Apex and all RLL esports teams or esports are basically the same team. RLL have a sponsorship with them. They're also in an alliance with MSI esports drivers to work on setups and qualifying strategies. That was where we talked about in that screenshot how, upon doing research on social media, we found that some of the guys in that session where that screenshot was taken with Alex basically invading. There were multiple drivers from multiple teams or team names in the Porsche Esports series. He's answering that, basically saying that's why so many different guys were together. They're like, basically you described it correctly last week, Rob. There's kind of alliances or partnerships in place with some of these other teams in the series.
Yeah. And then you got the big fish still coming around and
yeah, the big fish,
and shit.
The big fish can't hang with these guys. Apparently these guys have what it takes. If they're going to look in.
I followed them all. They're great guys. They're fast. They're not cheaters. They're clearly honest, just trying to do it right. That's why it pisses me off, just to be honest.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. I'm a Jamie Fluke fan. I'm going to watch this thing this weekend, and I'm pulling for Jamie Fluke and Apex.
Yeah. I would
say RLL, MSI. Yeah. They had a really good showing. MSI had a really good showing last time. I think they only got second.
And the big boys thought they couldn't keep up and had to find out what was going on.
Yeah, let's go with
that. Let's go with that. Number seven, the Drama Sim speculation, that Drama Sim Twitter, speculation of banned for 2022. We mentioned that we weren't sure where that came from. Series comes from a rule within the Porsche Esports Cup Series for the participation requirement for the current series. George says, I also wondered about this initially, but apparently now these drivers are forced to miss the remaining events through their ban. They will not complete the required number of events. And because of that, they'll be ineligible for a license in the following World Championship Series. So I think we referenced this a little earlier in this episode. These guys are going to miss so many races through this ban that they're not going to be able to compete in the next Porsche Esports Cup Series or World Championship Series. So the punishment snowballs from there, basically. So they're done. So at this point, why even keep them if you're a big team, right? That's how I feel. They can't, they may be good, but they can't compete for anybody.
Well, there's a point. Well, like I said, I guess, are they just not eligible for PESC next year? Or, like you said from that message, it said the word license. I wonder if they're actually going to not have the participation to be able to keep the actual pro license in iRacing.
Yeah, I don't know that exactly, but I would say
that would be
that might be the case.
Because if that was the case, then they're really up shit creek for competing at that kind of level. Like, they literally just wouldn't be able to get into sessions.
Yeah. I mean, they're just guys that are going to be really good at the top split of special events.
Just another A driver like me. Just another A license like me.
That's right. Number eight, the final bullet point that George shared with us for context. He says, finally, we know for sure because we caught them in a Porsche Esports Cup practice session. This was apparently happening since the Silverstone round of Porsche Esports Cup, as Jamie also confirmed. So there is a possibility that this exploit was being used for other events such as the BMW 120 or even the Bathurst 12 Hour. However, as far as we know, there is no evidence of that yet. And iRacing are encouraging other teams to come forward if they think their sessions may have also been hacked. Now, iRacing, so far as I have seen, iRacing hasn't done this very publicly. So that it kind of gives me the feeling that this is very tight-knit and kept into the pro team community, basically. Community within a community. Because this is not... I mean, people that follow the Twitch streams of, say, Jamie Fluke or some maybe Apex drivers, they have an idea of it because they ask, if you watch the full Twitch stream that we clipped at the beginning of this episode, there are people on there that ask questions of Jamie about this, but they don't seem to know a whole bunch. They're just trying to get some info. Interestingly, if you pay attention to the video of the Twitch stream that we clipped at the beginning of this episode, one of the people that asks a question of Jamie that kind of triggers him to talk about the details that we clipped that you heard is Zach Campbell. And Zach Campbell is a Apex Racing Team driver who was in the server, and his name is on that screenshot where Alex was found to be spying on them. So he was there. So it's almost like they coordinated to get this out in the open, which I completely don't blame them for, because they were, you know, being cheated basically for a month, it seems. Reached out to Zach for comment. He wasn't comfortable giving us a comment. So we thank George Simmons for giving us some context on this and making sure we were correct on most of our facts. So those were the 8 points that he shared with us, and those are pretty much confirmed by Jamie Fluke, who's a driver in the series. So he didn't tell us anything that wasn't confirmed by a second source. So this is all pretty solid information.
Yeah, that's much appreciation to him for reaching out and actually catching the podcast too, and being able to provide some insight. So last week we were in total speculation mode for the most part, and this week's episode we can kind of put a bow on it, hopefully. And we'll watch tomorrow and see what's said. I think the only thing that'll carry over as far as the discussion is what will Redline and iRacing's public response be about this. I mean, they might have the mindset of, well, it's already out there, it's leaked out. Some of the participants have made their opinions known and made comments. And just leave it at that. Just kind of curious what the response is, the explanation for missing drivers tomorrow during the broadcast, and how they will fill those positions. Will they bring up some people who are basically on deck to fill those spots, or are they just going to leave those empty? I don't really know how that works. Tyler, you said you're going to watch, I think, tomorrow. Any of you guys, I know Rob, you said you watch every weekend. I try to watch, and I for the most part miss it, and I don't watch the entire event. I sometimes catch the replay. Is this drama surrounding the series and Redline actually going to make some of you guys tune in more frequently? I think it might actually make me pay more attention to it.
Well, even just like I said, just turn on the broadcast for a few minutes, see if they're there.
Yeah. I mean, it's on in the morning on Saturdays. Usually I'm drinking coffee and getting ready to go to the gym and do some stuff. And it's like, oh, look, it's live. I want to tune in and watch because I love sim racing and I like the events.
Yeah, I love watching it, especially with no like F1 or anything right now. Like having some sort of like actual racing to just sit back and watch with the coffee or something. That's I love it.
And they've got, I know they've got the series with the YouTubers prior to now. They've got that little mini series where they do the like heat races and feature race or something.
Yeah, it's the all-star side of it's really fun too. We got Dave Cam in there now, and I think Tony Kanaan's in this one.
Oh wow, that's I like watching that. I usually tune in for that one, and I end up watching the replay of the big one. I particularly like Will from Boosted Media. I like watching his stuff, but yeah, it harkens me back. That's like I said, I'm a fan of Team Redline because back in the early 2010s, like 2010 and early days of me doing iRacing, I would watch the Team Redline guys, Gregor Hutu and some of those, and I would sit there and just watch the entire race start to finish live back when they were running the old Indy cars, and it was called the World Championship Grand Prix Series or something like that. So it's, like I've said before, it's kind of disappointing that they found themselves and still participating 10 years later, 11 years later in this premier series, and they're bringing this kind of controversy and issues to it, but we'll see what happens. I guess I think if we don't know anything tomorrow, it's not going to happen. They're not going to tell us anything.
I will harass them for the rest of my life.
they're gonna comment, who is this Rob guy that keeps messaging us?
Yeah. 10 years from now, being like, who was cheating?
Yeah. Say something. Well, I'll tell you what, we're not gonna forget. So if in 90 days these three guys are back in Redline competition, we're not gonna forget.
Nope. Might as well just call us Pepperidge Farm Racing.
That's right. That is right. Because that will just be so sketchy. Just too sketchy for me. I'll lose all respect. I mean, if you're gonna coordinate that as a team, if that's the case, you need to take your medicine.
If anyone can't tell already, I've definitely already lost some.
and if these are three bad actors, and they did this without the consent of the team or the rest of the team benefiting, and they just did this for themselves, you dismiss these guys and make sure that it's clear that this is not what the team is about. But we're not seeing that right now. And I feel like we're not going to see it. I don't think we're going to see it. I don't think we're going to hear anything in the broadcast. I don't think anybody's going to say anything unless a lot of people ask about it. We haven't gotten any kind of, I mean, we've gotten communication from the victim team, but we've we've put ourselves out there with Redline and iRacing that if they check at least Twitter, if they check it fairly frequently, they're going to notice. I'm waiting for, you know, obviously Redline's a big team. Are they going to notice that we're stirring some stuff up? Are they going to try to do something to us? Are they going to get pissed at us basically?
That'd be awesome.
I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. They could try to do something.
Strongly worded email.
I don't know what they could try to do, but I mean, look at the special edition episode that we posted on Sunday night with Sim Racing 604, which we'll highlight a little bit, but that had a good ending. So we're not focused on it quite as much in the main part of this show. That was a situation with people trying to get basically silence criticism. Would Redline do something like that to us? I don't know. I mean, if they're the type of team that is not going to dismiss people that are caught cheating, I don't know what they might do.
Well, yeah, I don't know. You're right. The chances are they're probably not going to say anything because the sim racing community is pretty, well, if you want to break it down, especially when you're getting between different platforms, like just iRacing itself, like you're looking at, you know, 100,000, 150,000 people, and only a certain portion of them are going to be diehards like us. And only a certain percentage of those are probably going to believe it's real. Like they might just be thinking that the damage control is just doing itself. And that, yeah, some people are going to know and we're going to lose some respect some places, but to everyone else, we're still going to be aliens on the track.
Yeah. Comes back to my point. Yeah. They're going to, I mean, a fast driver is still valuable despite the controversy. I mean, it's not, I don't know. I mean, I think not addressing it is a good way of addressing it for them. I mean, it's probably going to work for them. So,
well, in that respect, I'll chime in with, so I spoke with George from Apex this morning. And I actually posed the question to him,
Do you think Redline will comment on this publicly at some point? And he agreed, and that kind of affected my opinion. He said he doesn't think they will. And he also said that if he were in their position, he probably wouldn't either. Because more or less, I mean, there's not much to be gained from it. I think there is something to be gained from it. But on the other hand, it's not widely discussed. It's not like it's the hot topic on iRacing forums, as far as I know. It's not like it's a hot topic in the iRacing Reddit. It's not like there are a lot of mentions of it on Twitter. It's not like it's the chat of the moment in any kind of iRacing official session voice chat. It's really I feel like it's a fringe thing that, for the most part, people that follow these Apex Racing or Jamie Fluke's Twitch, they know about it. They chat about it and they ask Jamie about it in that live stream. But I feel like it's limited to that. I feel like not a lot of people really know about it. So if that's the case, why would you release a statement making more people know about it? I get that.
So tomorrow, correct me if I'm wrong, tomorrow will be the first event since this came out, right?
Correct. Yeah, that's
so correct. So there's probably, if I had to guess, a decent number of people who follow that series, at least watch the broadcast on Saturday mornings or whatever time it is in their country, that maybe just don't follow the news and they aren't aware of what's going on, because it's a little bit of a deep dive. I mean, you have to really look to have found this story or watch streams of some of these racers or some of these drivers on other teams. So it may not be that some of these people that follow the series even know about this until they tune in tomorrow and see, well, there's three guys that we're familiar with. Maybe we like Redline. We're not such deep fans that we follow every little detail and go through all the breadcrumbs, kind of like Tyler and us in this podcast do. I mean, they may not know. So when might be a little more chatter about this tomorrow, I think it's worth taking a look and following some of the social media. I mean, yeah, we're not going to beat this thing to death. We've kind of gone 2 weeks at covering it. It's kind of come into the picture's kind of grown. And I think we know just about as much as we're going to know from the sources and the insiders. But as far as the community reaction, we really have yet to see the broad reaction to this. So I think tomorrow, if we don't see it tomorrow, it's kind of buried. It's done. Probably much to Redline's liking. I mean, we'll find out. I think we'll tune in and go from there. So
I don't know about done, but obviously we're not going to beat a dick.
I think it's done. I really do. That's my opinion. After tomorrow, if it doesn't blow up tomorrow, I think it's over.
It's done for me unless these guys come back to the team in 90 days. Would you guys agree?
To be determined.
Yeah. I mean, it'll come back up once their suspension is ended, whatever their fate is. If they come back, yeah, I think we should probably talk about that. If they show back up into some kind of top tier series. I mean, obviously they have a right to race once the suspension is up. Everybody has a path to redemption. There's not, maybe their full story is known. I mean, they're obviously not giving interviews and discussing it, but maybe there's, you know, we don't know every single thing. You know how it is. There's a story that comes out. You don't know exactly what took place. There is a lot of speculation here, a lot of filling the gaps. So, I mean, not to demonize these guys. I mean, they shouldn't have done what they did. And if there was not they weren't trying to be predatory as far as taking setups. I mean, you would think if it was me, I would try to be out there defending myself and my organization. And the radio silence is pretty clear what actually happened.
Yeah, I was about to say you were going too easy on these guys.
Forever unclean.
Yeah. Well, Rob, I mean, have to leave a path of redemption to everybody.
Oh yeah. No one's beyond redemption.
You need a path of redemption.
These guys.
You can't put no redemption without accountability.
Yeah.
iRacing's the only one who's done that. And iRacing's only doing that.
Yeah, you got accountability. You got 90-day suspension and probably, if not a permanent removal from the top tier series, which is at least our dream to enter. I mean, that's a pretty damn steep punishment.
God damn it, Bradley.
And it's a financial devil's advocate here, too.
Rob, devil's advocate.
Yeah, now
Bradley's going too easy on these guys, Rob.
I'm not going easy on him. I'm not going easy on him.
Me and you are going to sandbag him, Tyler, and those two are going to be easy on him. And yeah. that's a good mix.
Yeah, we're playing devil's advocate here.
Good cop, bad cop.
I think if it was you, Tyler, or you, Rob, or anybody, if you worked your butt off and you made it into the Porsche Sports Cup Series, all that money on the line, you're the top tier broadcast, top tier everything. All the sim racers are looking up to you. And then all of a sudden this happens and you're removed from it all instantly. That's a hell of a consequence.
Yeah, but.
And you're also banned. Basically, it seems like banned from iRacing for 90 days. So you can't iRace.
You can't stream on Twitch with iRacing. You can't do anything else. You may have sponsorships. Yeah.
So you can't
associated
promote
with it.
Can't promote. Can't do anything. You know, I mean, you're on the bench.
You're right. I'm gonna Venmo these guys some money. I feel bad.
Yeah, you're almost making me feel bad for these.
Fuck that. I don't feel bad for them.
Playing both sides of the coin here.
Hey, Rob, apparently you can't tweet either, like apologize or take responsibility. Apparently you can't do that either.
Fucking cancel culture.
Apparently Twitter, you can't even get on Twitter and you have to just freeze in silence. You can't apologize. You can't take responsibility. Are you catching my hint here, people? If you're listening, take a little responsibility. Maybe we'll respect you a little more.
Well, maybe Redline has a top tier, top notch PR firm that's saying, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, it's the biggest. All right. Hot take right here. Go to their website. Their website's outdated as fuck.
Yeah.
No, they don't. It. They're not up to date on that shit.
Well, here's my take on it, Tyler, of that. This is my take. You probably will appreciate this more than most. Imagine being in a courtroom and you're somebody that's not experienced speaking to a jury or speaking to a judge or somebody trying to decide your fate, in this case, the public in general or the community in general, and you're sitting there blabbing and blabbing and saying a bunch of nonsense that's not going to help you at all. And you have a nice, good, quality lawyer standing beside you. 9 times out of 10, Tyler, what is he going to tell you? Don't say a damn word.
Right.
So that's probably what's happening here. It's the only thing you can say is, yeah, you can get up there and grovel and say you're sorry. People aren't going to think it's genuine. So why even? They're probably saying, well, don't even say a damn word about it.
I think the only thing that Team Redline needs to do is say publicly and clearly, hey, these guys are not on our team anymore. That's it.
I agree with you. On behalf of Team Redline, the whole team, yeah, I agree with you there. For their public image, they need to do that. I think
and
they're on the same page.
And they need to release a statement saying their actions don't represent the goals and wishes of our team.
I'll give them even a little bit easier. I'll say they don't even have to mention. They could just say, these guys aren't on our team anymore. You figure out what happened. I'm good with that.
Yeah, cast
are they
it off.
Irreplaceable? Like, really? Like, are you telling me there's not another fast driver who is either already in a place that could compete at the highest level, or two, with those resources, would easily be taken over that level? Like,
yeah, unless Team Redline as a whole knew that this was happening and benefited from it.
Tinfoil hats go on.
And they can't discipline. They can't cut these guys off because these guys will blow the whole shit up.
Tyler has a flip around chalkboard in his place right now.
I mean,
he's going to go full conspiracy theorist.
Is that a conspiracy theory? Everywhere. Is it really?
Yeah, it's going to be full conspiracy theorist.
You don't think that's possible?
What's that meme from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Yeah, the guy in front of the board.
Yeah,
things connected.
That's going to be Tyler for the next for 2021. That's Tyler's going to be trying to take down
your
Team Redline like it's Area 51.
Don't you caricature me? Don't you dare caricature me?
I have to say I'm with Tyler on this though.
Yeah,
Is it not? It's not out of the realm of possibility.
Oh no, nothing's out of the realm. I mean, Team Redline could be literally aliens from another planet doing driving. I mean, nothing's
Bradley,
out of the
Bradley. Don't caricature us. Don't caricature me. All right.
I don't know. I just don't think it'd be that widespread. I think it is bad actors for myself. Just the only reason I think that is because there'd be certain people like Max, like there's certain people there who would probably just laugh at the thought of stealing setups. They'd be like, give me a fucking Geo and I will beat these guys.
I would love to think that that's correct. I don't want that. I don't want the worst case.
Do you think Max is that invested in sim racing to where he wants to cheat for it? Especially with an F1 season around the corner.
I don't know.
There's certain people that I just don't think would buy into it. Like there'd be maybe certain people who are just, they want that edge, but I just don't know if it'd be that widespread.
I would say that he would have the least amount to do with it. Probably. Well, because what does he have to gain from it?
A fastest lap at Bathurst.
Yeah, like
but he's a Formula One driver for fuck's sake.
That means that it's sim racing.
That's right. He did have the I've seen that video come out. What if that's all a bunch of bullshit?
I'll tell you what. If Team Redline makes a post that says nothing more than confirmed these three drivers are not part of Team Redline anymore, I'll drop that. I'll drop the thought. Because that'll tell me that they took care of their business too, just like iRacing did. But if in X amount of days that these three drivers are back on social media saying, "Hey, we're starting the 24
hours for Spa."
Yeah, we're doing the 24 hours of Nürburgring for Team Redline. What the hell? Nothing happened to him with the team. Is it just good enough for the team that iRacing suspended him? So you guys are just going to, if you find another workaround, you're just going to have these guys do it again? I mean, the team has to step up too. It's not just good enough that iRacing does.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
I'm just upset at it.
Yeah. I think everyone's got to remember they could do better. We're having drinks here. So like,
yeah, we are. We are.
I think everybody here has provided some posed good questions. And yeah. I mean, I think here we represent and have tried to represent even one of us at any given time, tried to represent any position that you could think of on this topic. When we flip flop, I mean, that's the purpose of this. We're literally in a think tank trying to decide, what should they do? What shouldn't they do? What will they do? What won't they do?
I still think Bradley's a Team Redline sympathizer.
I mean, I was a fan. I've been honest and upfront about that. And yes, I am stealing Mad Sim Racing setups and providing them to Team Redline.
Doug's going to be pissed.
Right. So we're going to close out the show in a little bit. First, we're going to let you hear from about some of our good sponsors and supporters of Into the Apex. So we'll be right back in just a bit. This episode of Into the Apex is brought to you by Roscoe Wheels. Roscoe Wheels is confidence-inspiring aluminum. This means confidence in quality and confidence in self. Confidence in quality, meaning they want their customers to know that their wheels are produced to the highest standard and tested to be as strong as anything on the market, and are designed to keep you safe. Confidence in self, meaning they want their styles and fitments to make customers feel the way you did when you walked into high school with a brand new pair of shiny shoes. Giving you the confidence in yourself when you show up, whether it be to work or any event, knowing you look awesome. Roscoe Wheels offers free shipping within Canada and flat rate shipping in the USA. Find your new look today at RoscoeWheels.com.
This episode of Into the Apex podcast is also brought to you in part by the racing fans at Great Hire Staffing. Whether you need help hiring one employee or 100, Great Hire can help. Hiring good people is hard work. Great Hire HR does it quickly and economically so you can focus on what's important, running your business. Check them out online at www.greathirehr.com.
Finally, this episode is sponsored by Bad Weather Brewing Company out of St. Paul, Minnesota. With craft brews like the Immortal Toast Infused White Stout, of the Red Vein Red IPA on tap or in the can. It's how endurance drivers like us celebrate post-race. Find your new favorite craft beer and order your mugs online at badweatherbrewery.com. And we're back on Into the Apex. Moving on to our end of the episode tonight. Just doing a little talking about, if you didn't realize it with all the other stuff going on in sim racing this week, it's week 13. We've got some new stuff coming out, new stuff out. We're doing our own little week 13 extravaganza ourselves. I think a little bit later on, we're going to do some Bristol Dirt with the street stocks, a little bit of free cars on a paid track. I think, Rob, you had to buy Bristol, didn't you? You're not a huge oval guy.
Yeah, I think he mentioned to me earlier today that he's got to purchase Bristol. So,
yeah, I tried the Bristol Dirt.
The Bristol Duke? The Bristol
Duke. Oh, Jesus.
I tried the Bristol Duke. Oh boy!
I tried
late in the night here at Into the Apex.
Late in the night at Into the Apex studio, where the four of us are planning to do some Bristol Dirt racing. So as always, we have ourselves a few drinks. So excuse us, but yeah, I tried it with the dirt street stock. I'm not usually a dirt guy, and I thought it was fun. It reminded me, Bradley, of a track that we have mentioned with Raceway in Virginia.
Yeah, I haven't tried it yet. Yeah, I have not tried the Bristol Dirt yet, so I guess I'll try that tonight or tomorrow, depending on what we do.
We'll try it tonight.
Yeah, I'll try it tonight.
Yeah, we'll try it.
Yeah, it's exact. We always said that, and they used to say the slogan for With Raceway was Dirt's answer to Bristol.
I'll tell you what. I drove that dirt street stock on there, and it's very similar. Bradley really? And I have actually had the cockpit view on With Raceway in Withfield, Virginia.
That's true.
Google that track if you're not familiar with it. It is a high bank dirt track. We were there when Jeffrey Earnhardt was there, and Kerry Earnhardt, when Jeffrey Earnhardt was starting his racing career, driving just like a street car modified with roll bars and everything. Very, very grassroots start for him. Bradley and I were actually on that track in cockpit view, basically, right?
Yeah, we did Sprint Car Series. I forget. It wasn't the World of Outlaws. They never went there, but it was like American Sprint, something like that. Yeah. But just straight up sprint cars. Of course, they need a push start. So back in, God, was it, when would it have been, Tyler? 2006 or 7?
Correct.
Yeah. We did helped out pushing the sprint cars. Just put a spare tire on the front of a pickup truck and gave them a push. And it started raining. They needed all the vehicles out there to help pack the dirt back in. So we went out there and drove around the track. That was the last time we ever went there, actually, if I recall.
It was, yeah.
So
we got in the infield and got to watch from the infield.
Yeah.
Standing in the bed of a Ford F-150 and got out there on the wet, very much more wet than usual track and tried to get it nice and tacky and... it was kind of terrifying a little bit, especially doing the push starts.
Yeah.
Because you push start a couple of the sprint cars that need it. They get taken off, but then you got the ones that have already been push started driving by balls to the walls around your personal truck. And that's a little terrifying.
Yeah, the insurance company's not going to understand when you call them and say, yeah, sprint car hit me going around the track. And of course, if they hit you, they're probably going to catch on fire because sprint cars are prone to do that. Yeah.
And it's a dirt track, so it's not like you have the most grip in the world.
Yeah. And the banking there. I mean, I hope it'll probably never happen, but if anyone from iRacing ever becomes a listener of Into the Apex, please, please, please scan With Raceway. That is as good as North Wilkesboro to me and Tyler.
If you live anywhere near Withfield, Virginia, that's Western Virginia, Northwestern North Carolina, Tennessee, West Virginia, all that right there. If you've never been to With Raceway, look it up because it's not your typical dirt track. And this is coming from two guys that aren't huge dirt racing fans, but this was worth the trip. But anyway, that's what Bristol dirt reminds me of greatly. And I'm not a good dirt driver usually, but I was able to get the dirt street stock around there pretty competently, I felt. We'll find out a little later compared to other people, but at least I was somewhat stable. Has anybody else tried Bristol dirt?
Not yet. Yeah, I haven't. Like I said, I haven't.
I actually gave it a try in the NASCAR Cup cars.
And?
I'm not the best person to ask.
Yeah, I'm not going to miss. I hope it's not on. I forget now. I don't know if it's on Cyber Thunder's schedule for us, Tyler, but I hope not, because I've never tried the trucks or any kind of cup style car on dirt.
Our league racing will be at Eldora.
For the trucks.
I'm not going to mess with that. I've never tried it to this day. I've never tried those cars on dirt.
I did trucks at Eldora in the Josh White esports series. Definitely. So. Ugh.
You just spit some whiskey. I mean, I love the, I really enjoy the dirt late model, like the style we used to watch, like the crate late model, whatever it was called. That's the one that I own, the limited and the super late model, but mm-hmm. and the pro. I don't know about a non-dirt car. Like a car that's not native to dirt racing, I don't really want to put that on there. Unless it's an F1 car and we're having a fun one.
Oh, yeah. If you're really going for it, shit.
In which case, to hell with it.
Speaking of F1, Hockenheim. Who's got Hockenheim?
I do not. Hockenheim. I need to get it.
Yep.
I bought it straight away. I love it.
It's tough.
It looks like it would give me motion sickness in VR with all the turns.
I like it. I tested it in the Dallara 01.
Can you compare it to another track that's currently in the service, or is it pretty unique?
I'm not able to do that at the moment. No.
I haven't driven it enough to really compare.
And then speaking of the Dallara 01, the new damage model is brutal, but very realistic. So I do like that. I don't own the 87 Cup car. Never bought that, but the videos I've seen, that looks great. It's like the ARCA cars. Biggest thing with these damage models is obviously they're very unforgiving. Because, Rob, I think you and I had some contact in the Dallaras in our Grand Prix series, wheel-to-wheel contact, and we literally just bounced over each other somewhat and kept going without losing any pace. With this new damage model, we'd both be screwed.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We wouldn't have driven away from that last whole incident.
It'd be a lot of toes. Whole lot of toes.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm enjoying it. Like, it does seem not so skiddy driving away too now. Like,
yeah, you can kind of use first gear.
Yeah, it's not so bad. So I still enjoy driving that car.
I do
lot.
Too. I mean, hey, the damage model is beautiful. Let it be realistic. That's why we're here, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, we want to see tires flying around.
Yeah, we're not here to play an arcade game. We'd turn damage off if we were into that.
Yeah, and whenever I'm ready to take out Miles or Bruce, I want it to count for something.
Yeah, you can't win if you have three wheels.
Oh, man, I think those guys might be able to.
You just like to see the world burn. you don't want to see fast people be fast.
Nope, I like homogeny among all my driving. Everyone just drive the same speed.
We need a uniform skill level. At Medicine Racing, we're a uniform state. Everybody wears the same uniform, and I don't know where I'm going with that.
What is this, North Korea?
Yeah, seriously. Actually, yes, there is a North Korea. Exactly what we're getting at. Was it a Porsche or was it
Porsche? Yes, it's a McLaren? GT4.
Yeah, that was actually shared today.
It was. Sure. I was trying to decide if it's mildly offensive or if it's.
I mean, it makes light of the plight of an entire nation, but other than that,
it's incredible and you should probably use it.
I mean, we here at Into the Apex, we only have one great leader, one dear leader.
One.
Who can do no wrong.
Nothing.
Who can only do right.
Picture hangs at every single team member's house.
His picture hangs at every team member's
shirtless.
House.
Never a shirt on.
Never a shirt on. He's a tremendous Porsche driver. When he wrecks, he does not wreck.
When he wrecks, he makes it look gracious.
It's gracious. That is Michael Fassbender.
Inventor of the cheeseburger.
The dear leader Fassbender.
Yes.
To the point that I will be driving along with Doug Buchanan and Colby Tucker of Mad Sim Racing. Mad Sim Racing Team Fassbender at the 12 Hours of Sebring. Look for it. If you're racing in the 12 Hours of Sebring, look out for us because our team name is named Mad Sim Racing Team Fassbender. We are driving the Dempsey Proton Michael Fassbender livery.
And indeed, you go with Fassbender.
We are fast.
As do we all.
We are Fassbenders.
I can't believe you're running.
Everyone that just tuned out.
We have real sponsors, but does that matter to this particular team? No.
I can't believe it. No. Oh, for fuck's sake.
We have actual companies and organizations that provide us financial support.
And they're probably thinking, what the fuck did we get ourselves into?
But in this case, Michael Fassbender wins the day.
It's getting weird.
It should make anybody uncomfortable. It really should. Yes.
Yep. Hence why there's an awkward silence.
Yeah, but we're still going to do it. I will say, let's back into serious mode here.
Yep.
I am excited, Tyler.
Team Redline. Oh, wait, what? Huh?
I am excited for the BMW M8 versus the first ever Mad Sim Racing Porsche 911 RSR. I think we have a little side contest going now.
Tell us more.
It was going to be, Rob had to back out, so I think we might have somebody in. Yeah, god damn it. We might have somebody filling in, so it's going to be myself, Matt J, and possibly have a fill-in. He hasn't entirely 100% committed.
Somebody or another.
Yeah, if that's the case, we'll probably have to be absorbed by another team. But for now, we're going to have a Mad Sim Racing BMW trying to face off against the Porsche and obviously against the Corvette also.
So it's Team Fassbender against you, Team BMW.
Well, I say Team Porsche. I mean, I'm interested to see whether the first ever Porsche GTE effort can beat the good old faithful BMW for us. Fassbender's an aside as far as that car goes. That's your special project.
Bradley, Fassbender is everything.
We ended that bit like 10 minutes ago, Tyler.
It never ends for us. This is
your
life.
You're a fantastic character actor. You're a regular Daniel Day-Lewis.
Okay. What were you saying?
That was the only point I had to make there. I'm personally more excited for the 12 Hours of Sebring just for the competition internally to see whether our team BMW can beat the Porsche. I really hope we're in the same split. Obviously, balance of power being what it is, I think we're going to be at a disadvantage, if I'm not mistaken. I think the Porsche is a more popular choice at Sebring.
You guys suck.
But if I recall, during the practice session when you were in the Porsche, Tyler, I think I was faster than you. So that's all I'm going to say. I can't say I'm faster than Doug.
You're not faster than me.
I think I was.
Oh, okay.
What are we in, a pissing contest?
Yes, we are.
Whip them out.
We'll find out.
On the table, big boy.
Practice sessions are not to be taken seriously. Some of us need to be in race mode to put up our best laps.
All right, we'll see. We'll put some wagers up here on the podcast. Open.
Yeah, there'll be some side bets.
And there will be some... somebody's going to be eating their words. One of us will, anyway.
That would be the nature of a bet, yes.
Yeah. But it's getting brutal in here.
The thing I'm most looking forward to is next week. I'm not going to be on here, so You fuckers can't recruit me.
Patrick, you're not in. I was just about to say, Patrick, you're not racing the 12 hours of Sebring?
Hell no.
Yeah. Why? Sebring is as easy as it
goes.
Sebring is not hard. What are you afraid of?
I'm not afraid of anything. I just don't like Sebring.
I don't like it.
Why don't you?
See? Thank you, Rob. Thank you.
Patrick, why don't you like Sebring?
I don't get a good flow through for the track. I don't
that's my favorite part of the track is the especially that the part after the long straight and into the kind of the hairpin portion. That flow is pretty good. I mean, it's challenging. It's a very challenging course. You have a lot of turns where you have to get really slowed down and hit them just right. But, I mean, the flow is there for me.
Rob, why don't you like Sebring?
Oh, I just bought it. So
you don't know it.
Talking about
you don't even. Yeah, you don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Patrick, why don't you like Sebring? Really? What did it do? What, to you? What did it?
What where did it touch you?
What did Sebring?
Whoa! It's not like you have the little dial saying, "Okay, point to where it touched you."
Well, you sound pretty butthurt, so I could guess.
Yeah, what did Sebring do to you?
Oh yeah,
did the bumped in the last corner turn you around?
Yeah,
did it bump you just a little too much?
Did it bump you a little more than you were ready for?
Because you know there's bumps in that corner going to the start finish line and as well as after. So, I mean, there's a lot of places where the bumps can really mess with you.
Yeah.
Did Sebring make you feel like you weren't a good driver?
Yes, it did, actually. I think one of my first road races, actually, I think it was like a 6-hour race there. And I was in the BMW, and I was coming around that last turn, the real bumpy one going onto the front stretch. And I lost it, and I spun, and I hit the leader of the race, and we were like, I don't know, 10 laps down. And there was like a highlight clip of it on YouTube, and it had a couple thousand views.
You got hurt. I get that. You got hurt. You felt like a fool. You probably look like a fool.
And he said on his broadcast, he goes, "What is this guy, a fucking rookie?"
I mean,
and the answer was
yes.
Yes. So why be ashamed of that, Patrick? Don't be ashamed of that.
You got to know where your strengths and your weaknesses lay.
So you have a trauma related to Sebring. The only way to overcome that trauma is to go back and succeed.
I did the MSR Road Challenge there. That's enough.
No, that's yeah, not. I don't we, think that's
we need,
enough.
We need an official session in 12 hours. It's the only way to overcome it is exposure therapy. You need to do the 12 hours.
You've got to get into this BMW with Bradley and Matt.
Rob, help me out here.
You're more than welcome.
Rob, help me.
Rob, you need him. We need him to fill that spot.
Rob, this is a man that's been hurt.
Yeah, Patrick, the only way you're going to love again is to love. You just got to do it, man.
That's fine. I can go without loving this one. I'm looking forward to Nürburgring.
You have time to prepare.
You didn't get a chance to do Bathurst because me and Rob just completely fucked you over.
You owe it to yourself.
Yeah. Patrick, you just haven't had a chance. We tried to do the 6 hours of Le Mans this past weekend in the LMP1. I don't know what the LMP1's made out of tissue paper. I drove over a curb and the race was over. I don't know what that's about.
We were like the top three.
Oh, we were in third place. And then Tyler got in the car. Tyler, what the hell? He drove over a curb and the race was over.
You scraped the bottom of the car and then the whole thing blew up.
We're referring to ourselves in the third person.
Yes, we are. It's an LMP1. It's the top of the crop and you run over a curb. And the car just shits itself.
The race is over.
I expect these cars to be tougher than that. I can run over a curb. No, the floor's damaged. The engine
it is a bona fide spaceship, so it's made of what the ISS is made of, which appears to be just some fabric and some tinfoil.
Well, in that case, Patrick didn't get a chance to drive the car.
Oh, I'm all for Patrick running with us in the 12 hours of Sebring.
So, anytime Patrick drives with Rob and Tyler,
strongly encourage it.
Patrick, you just need to do it.
It's not a bad track. You did very well at the Sebring race.
I pulled out after 45 minutes.
You did what?
But you made 45 minutes.
I pulled out of the race after 45 minutes because I had too much damage. In a Lambo.
But you were doing it by yourself. Why did you wreck, Patrick?
Because I self-spinned like four times.
Why'd you do that?
I don't know.
You got to figure this stuff out.
Jesus Christ, did I pay a copay before this? Fuck.
Yes. You gotta understand what your flaws are. Did you push it a little too hard? Don't push it so hard.
Well, let's say this.
Nice and loose. Nice.
You can go a little faster with the GTE, the BMW GTE. I don't know anything about the Lambo, but I'm a BMW driver. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's on the edge. They say the BMW is more stable than the Lambo. So I would say turn a few laps when you get a chance in the BMW M8. Let us know how you feel. I'll share whatever setups we have. And I'll be expecting your answer within a few days.
All right, I got an answer. No.
Not acceptable. No means yes. Yes means yes. Yes, yes, yes.
So 24 hours of Nürburgring.
So how are you okay with the 24 hours of Nürburgring?
The hardest track on the server.
I mean,
hardest track available in iRacing.
Sebring is literally an airstrip.
Yeah.
Patrick, have you ever played Flight Simulator?
No.
Well, that completely kills my point. Why did you say that?
Because that's the truth.
if you can land a plane in Flight Simulator, you can drive Sebring.
Well,
if you can crash a plane in Flight Simulator, you can drive Sebring.
I probably couldn't get the plane to move in Flight Simulator.
Yeah, I couldn't either.
What the fuck, man? Flight Simulator? What the fuck does this have to do with Sebring besides it being an old airstrip?
It's an old airstrip. If you can drive that thing, man, you can do it.
I think you could. I think you could land the BMW M8 in the victory lane.
I think I'm going to go on a sabbatical.
I mean, you're going to do this is 12 hours of Sebring, right? Right.
No. Oh my God! For fuck's sake!
Right.
Man. Oh my God!
Bathurst, all over again.
It's Bathurst, and then I signed up for the Le Mans, and guess what? I got screwed over on that.
Hold on. Did you just say Le Mans?
It's my Chicago accent, okay? Le Mans. Oh, is that better?
So, so
that's Rob, French-Canadian. Rob, what is it pronounced?
Le Mans.
And
you mean Giles Villeneuve? What's
that Giles Villeneuve?
Gilles Villeneuve.
Look
at Gilles Villeneuve.
S'il vous plaît.
Cercle bleu.
S'il vous plaît.
So what do we have to close out, Tyler?
What do we have to close out? So Patrick will be driving in the Into the Apex BMW.
He is our only hope.
He is our only
hope. Help us, Patrick. You are our only hope.
Good. Glad we put that one out there.
I'll be driving the Team Fassbender. Look out for it. It's completely a worship.
It is a religious experience.
It is a religious experience.
I believe they have to allow it to win just to comply with your faith.
Hail Fassbender. So that's what that's all about. It makes no sense, but it's you either are all in or you are all out. And Rob, are you racing? I forget. You're out. Okay. Rob, you're useless. Okay.
like a screen door in a
that's
submarine,
right.
But
I'm out too, just like Rob.
Patrick's in.
I'm out.
Patrick's in. We'll see you there, Patrick.
Patrick is out on the track. Yep.
He's out on the track. Other than that, it's the friendly rivalry, BMW versus Porsche at Sebring. Bruce Perry will join us for that particular episode, the Sebring pre-episode. Giving us his road takes. And we'll see what happens in the Porsche Esports Cup Series and with Team Redline. Do they care about us? Do they get mad at us? Do they threaten to break our kneecaps? We'll find out. It's no telling. But for Tyler, Bradley, Rob, Patrick, this has been a particularly fun into the Apex, week 13, episode 25. We're going to go attempt to drive Bristol dirt in the street stock dirt. I don't know how well that's going to go, but we're going to have a great time. Everybody else, have a fun week 13. This has been Into the Apex.
You've been listening to Into the Apex.
Apex.
Presented by Mad Sim Racing. Follow and join the team at madsimracing.com.